that they overlap in their objectives, so that when science makes a breakthrough about how the natural universe is structured or runs in some way or another, it's automatically seen as a knockdown argument that the Christian faith must be wrong or untrue, or that God must therefore not exist. But friends, that's simply not the case. Pitting science against Christianity is a real mistake. Science and Christianity seek to answer wholly different categories of questions. Science seeks to answer the how questions. In general, science seeks to establish information about the created order in which we live, and then tries to understand how that created order works and fits together. Christianity, on the other hand, does not primarily look to the how questions in scientific detail, but rather the why questions. The Christian faith does not look to establish primarily how the universe came into being in detail, but rather who made it and for what reason. To compare science and Christianity is therefore an exercise of comparing apples and oranges. It's not a real comparison. They are not competitors. So when you hear an eminent scientist make claims from scientists that therefore, in their opinion, there must be no God, we have to say that they are overreaching. Merely understanding the universe in greater detail cannot establish that there is no loving creator of the universe. Knowing more about how the universe works does not mean that we can say that there is no God. In fact, as Christians, we should say the opposite. Increasingly understanding the universe that we live in does not point to God's non-existence, but rather it should point us to God. Secondly, sometimes people scoff at the Bible, don't they? And its explanations and say something like, well, we know science. And this is incorrect, what the Bible says. What's the problem? Well, we're treating the Bible like a science textbook. If we do that, it would be to apply our standards and assumptions to texts that are not seeking to answer the burning questions from our perspective. Instead of looking at the texts of the Bible and looking to poke holes in their accounts, we must instead seek to see what they are actually saying instead of what we think they should be saying. Sometimes it will appear to us that science has contradicted the Bible and therefore cast doubt in our faith if we're Christians. But in these instances, over time, we realize that in fact the problem was not the Bible, but our reading of the Bible and the unnecessary deductions we made from it. So an example would be, prior to Copernicus, that the assumption that the sun and the planets and the stars circled the earth. The earth was at the center of the universe. This was assumed because, in case you hadn't noticed, friends, that's how it looks when you look up at the sky. You look up at the sky, everything else is moving and we're not. The stars move, the planets move, but we don't. We often say, don't we, the sun rises and the sun sets. That's not really scientifically accurate, is it? The sun doesn't rise, the sun doesn't set. We see that in the Bible, in Psalm 19. But the Copernican revolution changed our thinking in this. We came to understand that the earth orbits the sun and that the perceived rotation of the sun in our sky was in fact the rotation of the earth on its axis. But that doesn't challenge the Bible. Instead, it merely explains the phenomena that we see from a different perspective, from that of the psalmist. Neither is wrong. What was incorrect was assuming from what we could see and making unwise deductions from that. So when we read the Bible, we are not reading a science textbook. The Bible is not looking to provide such detail and analysis as if the original writers had our perspective on scientific understanding. Instead, the Bible is telling us who and why and how we should respond. Well, thirdly, as Christians, we would want to state that we believe that science as an endeavor is only possible because God has created a rational and consistent universe that can be measured and analyzed. For if the world was not rational and consistent and could not be measured and analyzed in a consistent way, then science would not be possible. For those who are scientists here, they'll know this. For example, if the same scientific experiment always yielded different results in different places around the world, we couldn't really do science. We wouldn't be able to come to any firm conclusions on anything. Part of the scientific endeavor is that if we do the same test, the same experiment, it yields the same results, and you could repeat it somewhere else. We can only get these consistent results because of the consistency of the universe in which we live. The results can only be analyzed because the world in which we live has a rationality to it. If the world wasn't consistent and was completely haphazard, then we couldn't establish scientific data, and the data would make no sense. It would be changing every day. But instead, the world and the universe in which we live is consistent, coherent, and rational. It can be measured. It can be analyzed. Indeed, we assume that the world will make sense. That's our baseline assumption. We assume that the world will make sense. And it's worth asking, why is that? Why should the world we live in be measurable, be understandable, be analyzable? Why should it be consistent? Why should it be rational? For if there is no God that stands behind it, why are the so-called laws of nature and physics present? Why is the world not merely chaos that cannot be understood by anyone? So from the perspective of a Christian, scientific endeavor is only possible because God has made a universe that can be understood and comprehended, and because he has created beings who are able to so comprehend and are inclined to enter into scientific endeavor. So without God, there is no possibility of meaningful science. Well, the third thing I'd like to say is this, that science is good, it's not a challenge, but it has its limits. As we've seen, science seeks to establish how things work, the careful exploration and analysis of the world in which we live. And that means that it is therefore limited. There are whole swathes of study that it will never cover. As mentioned already, it doesn't seek to answer the why questions. It can't study the ultimate purpose of things in our created universe and whether they have one or don't have one. It can't answer ethical or moral questions. Science is also limited in what it can study. It can only study and analyze that which exists in the material form. It is bound by the limits of the created order. But as Christians, we believe that there is a separation between God and his creation. God is not a part of creation. He is not open to our analysis. We cannot put him under our microscope. He is wholly other. We can only know God, we can only understand anything about him, if he reveals himself to us. So what does a Christian say about bigger questions of life? Well, we believe that that the world is not here out of blind chance, but rather we are made by a good creator who reveals himself through his creation. For those who can see, there is much in creation that declares God's glory. And science is an academic discipline that can be wonderfully helpful to us. It can be of good use. It can help us understand more and more about God's creative power and glory from the world in which we live. From the vastness of the universe to the intricacy and the beauty of cellular processes, we see behind it all a good and wonderful creator. But that revelation of God is limited. We can know certain things about God from creation. We can know about his power, his majesty, but we don't have the whole picture. We don't know how to please him. We don't know him. We know about him from creation, but we do not know him. We need God to reveal himself to us more clearly and more fully. And this has happened throughout history, as recorded in the Bible. God revealed himself in many ways and at different times, but God makes himself known most clearly and most fully in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As we know Jesus, we know God. And if we know and trust in Jesus, he tells us that we can have life and have it to the full. So without Jesus, we are, friends, living a subpar existence. Science cannot cause us to know God. Only by God revealing himself to us in the pages of the Bible, and most clearly and powerfully in the person and work of Jesus, can we know him and have that life. And that's why science is in and of itself insufficient. It has its limits. If we want to have life to the full, we must come to Jesus. So if you really want to know if there's a God, if you're willing to explore beyond what science can tell you, then turn to the Bible and consider Jesus and what he says. We'd love you to take a free copy of one of these eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and death that you'll find on your tables. In conclusion, science and Christianity can seem to many to stand opposed to each other. Indeed, some think that Jesus and the Christian faith, it's just not necessary to have a good life. But as Christians, we recognize that science is a good gift from God. It is not a challenge to our faith, yet it is not sufficient to have life to the full. For if we want to have that life, if we want to know God, we must go beyond science. We must come to Jesus. For only by trusting in him can we know God and know the life that he offers. Well, you'll have seen advertised